we're going to open our Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. I'm going to start with chapter number 36 for a verse or two, but we're going to spend most of our time in chapter number 37. It'll all be on the board, but I'd like for you to look at your Bibles for two reasons. You need to know where it is in your Bible. It's surprising when you find something that you've never seen before. You've read it 21 times, and then you discover it when somebody's teaching through it. We ready? All right, chapter number 36 up for us. And here, God is speaking to Ezekiel. And this whole account, to begin with, is the account of the Valley of Dry Bones. How many of you remember that? Ever heard anything about it? Heard messages all over the country about it. All right, look at it with me. Chapter 36. Thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel and say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Did you hear that? Yes. Prophesying to the mountains, saying to the mountains, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against thee, ah, ah. Now, I read that for one purpose. Brother Caleb brought us something tonight, and he has it on his phone, where one of the Turkish ministers in their parliament is absolutely skinning Israel. And he says that Israel are murderers, and God's going to judge them. Allah's going to judge them. And the dude had a heart attack and fell over, died in the hospital 2 days later. I mean, he just got that out of his mouth and fell over with a heart attack. Boy, isn't it good when God shows up with it. I mean, when it's just right for him to show up. So God don't do that. He done that. I guarantee you God did that. Amen. Yeah, and hopefully he'll get a bunch more of them. Same way. Listen, you don't curse Israel and get by with it. I don't care who you are. You just don't. Verse 3, therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and you're taken up in the lips of talkers and are an infamy of the people. In other words, people are just destroying you with their big mouths. And that's exactly what's happening to Israel tonight around the world. It's going to be a whole lot more heart attacks than what we thought it was going to be, looks like. Amen. I'm going to begin with verse 16. But the paragraph starts at verse 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, now watch the words, and defiled it by their own way and by their doings, their way was before me as uncleanness and a removed woman. Wherefore, I poured out my fury unto them for the blood that had been shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. How many times have you heard me say that God will not allow innocent blood to be shed without judging it? And America is in trouble. 60-some million babies. Oh, Lord, it's unbelievable that this kind of thing has happened. I tell you, folks, it disturbs me deeper, in all honesty, now than ever before. It disturbs me that America's in the shape she's in. Amen. Walk in the streets by the thousands, tens of thousands, cursing Israel. All of us need to be disturbed, not just me. All of us need to be disturbed because of what it is. Verse number 25. Then I'll sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, from your idols will I cleanse you. What an encouraging passage of Scripture. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Father, bless us tonight. We need a touch from you. We need a touch physically. We need a touch spiritually. Help us, Lord Jesus, in these moments tonight to say something to encourage your people and to enlighten us along the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. God's promised in the verses along the way that I'm reading here. God's promised to bring Israel out of the nations that he scattered them into in days gone by. Now we need to remember that God is going to rebuild Israel. The nation of Israel will be rebuilt to its former glory and beyond. A lot of things are yet to take place. I'm not going to try to get it all together tonight, but I'm going to try to give you a catalog of the things that are yet before us according to the text that is before us in chapter number 36 and 37 of the book of Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel is in a foreign land when he's doing this prophecy. He's in Babylon. He's a contemporary of Daniel. So they're in Babylon. And God is showing him what's going to take place in the future where Israel is concerned. Now, there are reasons why he's doing it this time, in order to encourage his people. For they get in the land and they begin to mix and mingle with the people of the land and do the things of the people of the land and forget that Israel is back over there. The land is still there. So he's reminding them, God's reminding them that they're going back and God is going to rebuild. Now that migration back to Israel has already begun. As I sit here tonight, it has already begun. Israel is being rebuilt. Not yet as far as it's going to be. But let me remind you where we are at this point tonight in history. The next thing on God's calendar, as far as prophecy is concerned, is the rapture of the church. We're going to get out of here. Someone sent us something the other day, and Ginger asked me to look it over and see if it was spiritually correct. The only thing that wasn't spiritually correct was it was using the RSV. The war that's mentioned in chapter 9 of the book of the Revelation, when the sixth angel sounds the trumpet, that war is connected with Armageddon. It's going to be after the church leaves and the Antichrist is in control. So we don't want to mess up here and get to thinking that the war that's taking place tonight is a part of that. Now, again, it could materialize into that, but at this point it is not there. And the enemies that are mentioned in the wars that are yet to come against Israel are not the enemies that are before us now in this war. So that settles the question as far as my mind's concerned. However, if Jesus comes for the church tonight, it could quickly materialize in that direction, and it could turn into the war. that will draw the nations against Israel, but at the same time draw the nation of Israel back together. Let me see if I can get this to you before I start reading the text tonight. When Jesus comes back for the church and takes the church out of here. Now, right now, we're in Israel's way. As far as prophecy is concerned, we're in Israel's way. Now, when God gets us out of here, everything turns toward Israel. And Israel then will be the focal point of the world. It's almost there tonight. So Israel becomes the focal point of the world. And when Israel becomes the focal point of the world, every nation that is mentioned in the text that'll come against Israel will begin to form this coalition to do so. And they're going to come against Israel. And God is miraculously going to win that war. They're going to see the hand of God with such power and such miraculous glory that they're going to head back to Israel and get everything together to be the nation they're supposed to be at that point. However, Israel goes back in unbelief. Now, that's hard for us to understand. Let me set that back. That's hard for me to understand. Why are they going back in unbelief? Because somehow, miraculously, God, remember, I told you the account of the man I met on the airplane. God miraculously has put in the heart of those people to return, even if they have never been there, they're going to Israel. And Israel is building up as a nation. But Israel does not become believers until we come back with Christ at the second coming of the Lord Jesus. When they look up, remember, when Christ comes with His church, Israel is at war. The Antichrist has them bleeding, crying for help. And all of a sudden, the sky opens. And here is this great white horse. And there's someone riding it. And the breastplate reads very simply, "This is Him." Amen. Basically, it says, "This is Him" to those who are looking up for deliverance. Amen. So here is the deliverer. And the moment they see Him, that's what they've been looking for all through the years. That's how they thought He was going to come the first time. So they missed Him in unbelief. Now they see Him coming the way they've been looking for Him to come. And they fall on their faces and cry out, "I believe. I believe." And in Romans chapter number 11, verse number 26, "And all Israel shall be saved." Somebody shout.
Amen.
How about that? Listen, we're not talking about an individual or a few individuals in a few towns, but we're talking about the nation of Israel being saved because they see the Lord Jesus Christ coming back in power and glory. I would say if you were an unbeliever and you saw that, you'd become a believer. So Christ comes back. And for 1,000 years, Jesus Christ reigns on this earth. Now Israel is truly blessed. Now the land is producing manyfold. Now everything is at peace. The whole of the world is at peace. There are no wars. There are no rumors of wars. And we are ruling and reigning with Christ on this earth. The natural man during this time at 100 years old is still a babe. The life expectancy goes from, what is it now, come back down the line some the last few days. They changed it on the news. Anyway, they're talking about people dying at middle age and so on, and the life expectancy is coming down. So let's just make a good guess at 65. I don't know that that's it. But the life expectancy now, but now the life expectancy in the time of the millennial is 1,000 years. No disease. Well, glory. No physical problems. No natural problems. Now, the scripture does say that if some of the nations don't honor and are not obedient, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. So what he's going to do if they're not obedient, going to turn the water supply off. That'll make people look up again. So there are natural people on earth while we are spiritual people on earth. You see, we've received our glorified body by this time, and as spiritual people, we reign with Christ. The natural man is still doing the things that natural people do, and they're multiplying, having children. And I don't really have a whole lot of scripture to back this up, a few verses here and there, but I believe that the conception is go back like it was after the garden. And women will have multiple children, and the population will swell in that 1,000 years, muchly so. But the end of that 1,000 years, now listen to me and get this in your head. We're talking about Christ ruling on this earth for 1,000 years. He is in person on the earth, ruling and reigning. At the end of that 1,000 years, the devil, who has been put in chains 1,000 years ago and locked up in prison where he couldn't get out. Amen. Now listen to me. Remember what I told you a while ago, that everything is peaceful and none of the problems that we have today? The reason is because the devil's locked up. Amen. He's not around. But God releases him for a short season. Amen. And he goes out and deceives the nation. The old deceiver comes right back to do the same thing that he's done all the time. So he deceives the nations. And these nations come against the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this war is going to shut her down. So they come against the Lord Jesus Christ. Come against Israel. Come against Jerusalem specifically as a city. And when they do, the Lord Jesus wins the victory. We talked about that earlier. And now, big things happen because the earth is recreated. It goes back to the Garden of Eden, or better. How about that? Old Brother Sexton used to say that we're going to have bananas the size of light poles with zippers, and watermelons big as Volkswagens. The battle against Jesus now, and the armies of God, and all that crowd are destroyed and cast into hell. Now, what's so hard to understand about that? These people have lived with the Lord Jesus for 1,000 years, and quickly they are deceived by the devil. You say, how in the world could that happen? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you ever kind of get weary in the way? I've been mighty close to being weary in the way, and I know my wife's noticed that, and probably the family. I'm telling you, when you're hurting 24 hours a day and most nights, and you won't get that till Jesus comes, probably. But when you're hurting all the time, and I'm not talking about sissy hurting. I'm talking about grown-up hurting, big boy hurting. Then your psychological makeup starts kind of deviating. And I have to kind of pause for a few moments and realize that my God's still in control. And about the time I start walking down that long hallway of darkness, old brother Jeff will call me. Or Sam will call me. Or somebody will call me and encourage me and get me out of the doldrums. Hey, that's what we're for. Do you know that? That's what we're for. I like to call people when they're down and out and talk with them. And I appreciate all you folks that have called me. Brother Willie and his darling wife have called a few times. Listen, it's good to hear from somebody. And it's good for you to remind me of what I preached. So now listen, Brother Larry, you know what you said. Romans 8:28 still in the book. God's in control. Get your chin up. Put the mule back in the barn. You see how easily we can get discouraged? And a multitude of people, we're talking about millions and millions of people are going to be deceived in a short time and literally try to dethrone the Lord Jesus. I've read the final chapter. Can I tell you that they lose? They lose. And they're cast into hell. And Jesus Christ, as he created to start off with, now recreates an earth on which those natural people, Jews specifically, will inhabit for eternity. And somehow, some way, and I don't know how all of this is going to transpire, I haven't figured it out yet and don't know anybody that has specifically. But the New Jerusalem will be the home of the church of the Lord Jesus. And somewhere suspended, close enough to earth to where the kings of the earth can bring their glory into it. And where we can see what's going on. You're still with me, aren't you? So suspended somewhere. I said that one time in a revival meeting. I remember distinctly where I was. I was in South Carolina at just out of Greenville there where Brother Alvin was preaching. Simpsonville. I called it Simpleville. And the reason was because a bunch of Bob Jones students were there. So I called it Simpleville. Anyhow, this lady came to me and she said, Brother Larry, how in the world is God going to suspend a city that big above the earth? And I just kind of looked at her for a minute just to see if there was any holes in her head where all that matter drained out. And I said, sweetheart, how in the world has God suspended this old earth in space all these years? I don't remember what color she turned, but it was a dead giveaway. He knows I'm stupid. And her walked away. If you're not careful, being stupid will betray itself. Sure will. Hey, don't question God. Don't question what God does. What God does is right in every case. So we're going to dwell in that city. And the natural people are going to dwell on the earth. And you say, well, after a while it's going to get crowded. Yeah, but there are planets and stars and all kind of places out there that God's going to put them. Now here's what I see. One of these days, the whole of God's creation will be populated by believing human beings who will be singing the glory of God to a God that has created his creation to populate it with believers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chapter number 36, verses 17 and 18. Israel is out of the land. And they're out of the land because of their sin, their idolatry. Then down in verse number 25, they're sprinkled with that clean water that I read to you about. Then in verse number 26, they're given a new heart. Verse 27, they possess the indwelling Spirit of God. In verse number 28, they're God's people. Again, God shows them and tells them, you're my people. You belong to me. I belong to you. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to give you the land that I promised to Abraham, and you're going to dwell in it. You're my people. You're my people. By the way, that's repeated again over in chapter number 37, verse number 27. Chapter 36 again, verse number 30. They will be recognized among the nations again, as they were in Solomon's day. Chapter 36, verse number 29, 30, 34, and 35, the crops are abundant. Any of you folks ever been to Israel besides my family? Anybody? I'll tell you what, it is surprising to see the color of fruit and vegetables in Israel. You know how anemic carrots look? Not in Israel. Those things are the deepest color and nearly as sweet as sugar beets. Absolutely delicious. Grapes the size of most of you people's head. Some of you are pin heads, that's what I'm telling you. No, really, huge grapes. These people on these kibbutz, I was hoping during some of all this news that we saw that we'd be able to see some of that produce that comes from those kibbutz. Those are the farms in Israel. It's absolutely unreal when you look at it. You wonder, am I seeing what I think I'm seeing? And then the taste is just out of this world. Good. What's happened, see, all these years, Israel's land has laid waste because of her sin. All it needs is a little water. Amen. And by the way, they've irrigated till the Jordan River is just a little stream. That's for real, honestly. But they're producing some stuff that you would not believe if you saw it. Unreal. Benny, you ate some of those grapes. Tell these people. I promise you. And delicious. Absolutely. All of that's going to come to pass as well. The abundance of the crops. Chapter 36, verse number 38. Jerusalem. Rebuilt, repopulated. Put together again. God's people there. I'm going to end up with this ninth thing. 37, verses 1 through 6. Ezekiel speaks to this valley of dry bones. And when we come back, we'll begin to deal with that valley of dry bones. Amen. God said to Ezekiel, hey, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Amen. Now you work on that. I tell you what, do. Read this 37th chapter. You'll have 2 weeks to read it. Read this 37th chapter and get the sense of it in your head. And remember that the dry bones are Israel. But when God speaks, when God's wind blows,